have this opportunity to talk to you about the work on that God has called me to. And I do sincerely thank you all for how you have prayed for me over these many years that I've spent in Kenya. The Reverend Salt's introduction certainly does make me feel very old. He wasn't long-slaved when I went there. It's really as many years ago. But I do thank you for your faithfulness to me and praying for me and supporting me. I'm thankful that you're not tired of me, that you keep coming out to hear me and keep praying and supporting me financially. And that indeed is a real encouragement to me. And particularly over this last term that I've spent on the field, which has been around 4 years, it's 4 years since I took deputation meetings. And I can thank the Lord for his good hand that has been upon me over those 4 years. We don't take it for granted, the fact that we have been preserved working in the land of Kenya. There are many dangers there, as I will relate to you. But also we don't take it for granted that we continue to have the good health and strength to continue serving him. And these are great blessings and gifts from the Lord. And of course, we do not take for granted the financial help that we receive that keeps us out there on the field. And these are through your generosity and your giving. And even not only to me personally, but to the others who've been working with me, and also to all the ministries that we're involved in that do need your support from time to time. So I do thank you sincerely, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak to you tonight. I would like to read some verses of Scripture, and they're found in the book of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. They are familiar words for a missionary meeting, and I would like to again read them to you. We'll just read from verse 35. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And maybe it's good to read the first verse of chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We know the Lord will bless these verses to our hearts. We think of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses. And of course, he is the reason why we are on the mission field. He is the reason why we're even here tonight in this meeting, because of his so great salvation to our own souls. And as we consider and look at his work here in these verses of Scripture, there's so much that can teach us and help us in our missionary work. We see that even though he had healed the sick, and even though he had been preaching the gospel, he still could see in verse 36 that he saw great multitudes, and he was moved with compassion on them. And you know, no matter how long you are on the mission field, there's something that is really needed every day. It is that heart of compassion. And it also is that sight to see, the ability to see the multitudes and to see the great need that they're in. And not only the great need they have, but just the condition that they're in. And we read here about how they were fainting. They were lying down. They were weary. They were tired. They were scattered abroad. And they had one serious problem, and that was that they were like sheep having no shepherd. And you know, the Bible tells us about shepherds of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Ezekiel, we read about other shepherds. We read about false shepherds. And you know, in Kenya, there are many people who set themselves up and claim that they are shepherds of the flock. They claim to be pastors of the church. And in fact, this word pastor in Kenya has been so abused and misused that it has lost its meaning, because everybody seems to be able to call themselves pastor in Kenya. But when you look at them, you can quickly discern that not all who claim to be shepherds of the flock, they are the true shepherds and the genuine and sincere shepherds and the faithful shepherds that are teaching the word of God. And in the book of Ezekiel there, we read about the false shepherds, and we have many of those. Of course, not only do we have just people who are setting themselves up looking nearly for a job, they decide they're going to be a pastor, but we also have the false shepherds in the sense that we have all the cults out there in Kenya that you would have here at home. And not only do we have all the cults, but we have what we could say indigenous cults. That is, churches or groups that have sprung up within Kenya. And their teaching is very strange, difficult, because it takes the word of God and it also mixes the word with the old traditions and the old ways. And they tell us and will tell the people, we want an African Christianity and we want an African Jesus. And so we have these different types of cults that rise up even within the country. And so therefore, there are many who are false shepherds, are not faithful to the flock. And also in the book of John's Gospel, where the Lord Jesus Christ said that he was the good shepherd, he also talked about the hirelings that were there. And the hirelings that were there, they ran away whenever trouble came and when danger was there, because they were only hired and they were only there for a job. And we have also people in Kenya like that tonight. I've often used the illustration, sometimes when people travel on buses in Kenya from the city up to the long journey up country, they'll spend maybe 8 or 9 hours on a bus. But what happens is some of these pastors will get onto the bus and he will start preaching on the bus. And you know, well, it's a good congregation because they can't move anywhere and they have to listen. But you know, after he will preach for a while, then he'll get out his little collection plate and go around and lift the offering for himself. And you know, it's all very strange, and you have to ask yourself, how genuine really is that all? Are they just like the hirelings and they're there for what profit they can get for themselves? But in Kenya tonight, as the Lord Jesus Christ has said here in verse 37 and verse 38, that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And even from the days of Christ to this very day, that statement is still true. The harvest is plenteous, and the laborers, the genuine shepherds, are still so few tonight on the mission field, and not only on the foreign field, but even on the home field as well. The laborers are few in the work of God. And I would just like tonight to give you some report of how things are out there in Kenya, and many things that we need prayer for tonight. I would just like to say that as I was talking there about the multitudes, you know, Kenya is a growing nation. Whenever I went out to Kenya in 1983, there were 18 million people. But tonight in Kenya, there are 46 million people. And that's, of course, over a period of 33 years. But, you know, when someone says to you, well, have you not done enough? Is the work, have you not finished the job that you were sent out there to do? But, you know, there's always more to be done. And the multitudes are still there. In fact, more so than ever. And the need in Kenya tonight for the gospel and for the truth is greater tonight than ever it was before. And so it is a growing nation. It is also a nation that has many different problems and difficulties that do concern us and do affect us from time to time. Kenya is a nation that has had its fair share of attacks from the hands of the terrorists, and from this, particularly this organization called Al-Shabaab. It's an arm of Al-Qaeda. It's associated with ISIS. And that same activity that you read about in other countries and even across there on the mainland, and of young people being drawn into this terrible system and terrorist organization. We have that challenge in Kenya because some of our young people have disappeared. Their parents don't know where they went to. And they've disappeared only to find that they're in this neighboring nation called Somalia, and they have been indoctrinated into Al-Shabaab. And that is very sad for parents who discover that. And so therefore, this organization called Al-Shabaab is very active. And it was in the past operating within Somalia. Now, Somalia is a bordering country to the east part of Kenya. But now they've come over the border and they've infiltrated into life in Kenya, always undercover, always very hidden. And we had many attacks over this past 4 years, but what the worst attack was what took place on the 2nd of April last year. It was a very sad situation. It really did affect us even as a school, even though we are on the west side of the country, and that's the east side of the country. And it would take me 2 days, really, to travel to those areas. But because Al-Shabaab is infiltrating everywhere, it does affect us, and we do have to be careful. But last year, on the 2nd of April, Al-Shabaab attacked a public university. Now, public universities there are like universities here. Young people get a place in those universities. So you don't particularly have to come from that area. And as Kenya is a big country with 46 counties, students were there from all over the country, from all over the counties within the country. And Al-Shabaab went in early in the morning, one morning, and they were particularly targeting the Christian students, of course. And they were going to morning devotions at dawn, and they were in a hall, and they went in there and opened fire, and they killed 147 of them. It was a terrible act of terrorism. It was an act of great cruelty, and a few students got away, or many students got away. Of course, those who weren't Christians got away, but some even of the Christians ran up to the dormitories, and one girl, a particular girl, hid in a wardrobe for 48 hours before she ever dared to come out, and she survived. So that really shocked the nation. It shocked us too, up in Kapunguria, because Al-Shabaab boasted this is the first of many on institutions of learning, schools and universities. And so the country was on high alert, and our own school was just the same as all the other schools in Kenya. And it was a time that really we were quite concerned as to what is going to happen next. And we had to bring in extra security. And thankfully, our students did settle down. And towards the end of last year, things did improve. There hasn't been any other attack on a school since then. But that's not to say that we are complacent and that wouldn't happen. There have been other attacks in smaller scale, but in different situations. And so I do ask you tonight to pray much with regard to this security problem that we have in the country. The forces, the security forces, seem to be very active within the country, but it is a big country. It's 40 times the size of Northern Ireland. And so you can imagine what it is like to try to find out intelligence, the movement of these people, and what their plans are. Of course, every county has their own security and their own intelligence department. So I would ask you to pray for Kenya tonight with regard to that. I would ask you also to pray for Kenya politically. To have a stable government in a country is very important to us, and we've had that over the past 4 years, and we're thankful. I was home in 2013, and I was asking you to pray for the incoming elections, which were taking place the following year. And we were really pleased and encouraged that the country really was brought to its senses because of all the loss of life in 2008 after the elections then. And there was great efforts made to see that there would be a peaceful election. And so it did come and go peacefully, and we did get a new government. and one government handed over power to another, to a new president. But now, 4 years on, these elections do come round every so often, and we're having another one next August, and that's getting quite close. And campaigning is at its best out there in Kenya. And you know, there are 43 tribes in Kenya. And what is happening at this time, different tribes are aligning themselves with two different parties. And they're campaigning. And of course, we have the ruling party and we have the opposition. And both are determined that they are going to continue and take over power in August 2017. So I do ask you to pray that the Lord will keep his hand upon Kenya at this particular time. I would say to you tonight that the most dangerous place in Kenya is on the roads. And I was just looking at the media recently, and they had said that this year, in 2016, 2,607 people were killed on the roads in Kenya. Now, if you've been out there, as some have, and if you live there, you would know the reason why. Because of the traffic, the many things that you have to cope with. We have bicycles, we have motorcycles, we have things called tuk-tuk, three-wheeled cars. We have cars, we have buses, small buses, big buses, lorries going through, right through to Uganda to Kenya. And then, of course, we have the animals as well, the goats and the sheep and all of that. And, you know, driving in Kenya, you need to watch them all. And certainly we do need your continued prayers that the Lord will keep us safe there. And we thank God for safety thus far. As with regard to the work itself in Kenya tonight, I would just ask you to continue praying very much for us in the work of the gospel there in Kapunguria, Kitale, Kakamega. Those are the three main places now where we're working. Now, that is on the west side of Kenya, and we are very close to the Ugandan border. And just in relation to the work in Uganda, it is fairly close to us. And in fact, if we were able to go in a boat across Lake Victoria, it would be very easy to reach that place where the Reverend Miller and his wife is tonight. But you can't go across Lake Victoria. You have to do a tour round through the city and down then to Masaka, where they are. But we are working on the west side of the country, and I just would ask you to continue to pray for us. There's much that needs to be done in those areas. I'd ask you to remember particularly the ongoing work of our Christian Academy. The Academy has been a great encouragement to us as missionaries, and it provides a great opportunity for the gospel because of many different reasons that I can't go into tonight. But you know, we have children there from probably around 5 of the 46 counties in Kenya. It's not just one county, but there are children from different places who come to the academy. In fact, we've had a couple of Muslim students in the academy. Why are they there? Well, that's a good question. But the parents know what kind of a place they're bringing their children to, and they are taught the Word of God just like all the other students. We have no restrictions in teaching the Word of God. We're so thankful that really we have what we could call a free hand to teach the truth of the Word of God to all those children and young people that are in the academy. We have had this year 577 students from January to October. And that is, of course, from the small, the preschool, right through to secondary. You'll see it on the screen. But it's a great opportunity for the gospel, and we're thankful that even in that school, souls have been saved. And we're also thankful not only the fact that there has been a response to the Word of God, but you know, we've been able to teach much about on the principles of the Bible, the commandments of the Lord. Just to give you an example, we had children, in fact, from a Christian home that came to the school, but they weren't BCFC. And you know, the Lord's Day is not really observed in Kenya, but we believe in observing the Lord's Day. So these children, you know, were taught that in the school. And they went home during the holidays And their mother sent them on Sunday morning to the river, which is very normal. Not on Sunday, of course, but sending them to the river to wash their clothes. And they said, no, we can't go. This is Sunday. And you know, the mother came and told us that. And then she said, you know, my grandmother used to say that. And she was taught that by the early missionaries. So this is the opportunity that we have in the lives of all those students. And I do ask you to pray for the academy. We have had some big challenges in the academy. One of the challenges is the financial needs that we've had. And we thank God that we have been enabled to continue that work. We've been able to pay our bills, pay the staff. But it certainly has been very difficult. And for 18 years now, the Mission Board has been helping us with the deficit that there has been in the running of the academy. The parents do pay school fees, and sometimes they need a little encouragement. And there is a Kenyan way of encouraging them. But they do pay around 85% of the running costs of that academy. But there's always that deficit, and there's maintenance bills. When you use facilities for many years like that with so many students, there's always repairs and maintenance that needs to be done. And so the Mission Board have assisted us over the years, and I would ask you to continue to remember the Academy with regard to its financial needs. And there is a report there at the chair in the porch that you can take and just look at it and consider it tonight. Also in the Academy, I could say we've had academic problems with regard to the performance of our students in national exams. Now, the primary students don't really have any problem. They do very well. But the issue comes with secondary school. And there has been in the past a serious problem throughout the whole nation with regard to cheating in national examinations. Now, you can imagine that with regard to the secondary school exam, there are 5,800 centres of where the exam is taking place. And there has been leakages. In the past, it was very hidden. We knew students were doing very well, and we wondered why in other schools, in public schools. But then of late, it's been very blatant. In fact, last year it was so blatant that even the media had it and they posted it on the television. And the night before the exam, the questions were posted on television. And they said these, it was on WhatsApp, and these are the questions for tomorrow morning. It was geography. And the examination council denied it, vehemently denied it, but it was true. And so therefore, students are coming out with great results in the public schools. But of course, as academy, we don't believe in doing exams in such a manner. And that means that our results would be average. They're not poor, but they're average. And this has been a great discouragement to us. But I'm thankful tonight that it appears that this year, because last year was such an embarrassment to the Kenyan government, that they put in a new minister for education, and he brought in radical changes this year. And so far, it appears that things have been much better and that things were a lot tighter. And we've even had teachers sacked, people arrested, taken to court for this type of behaviour. So that has been a real challenge to the academy. But we are looking to the Lord, and we ask you to pray that things will be better in the future and that we will get more encouragement and support from the Ministry of Education out in Kenya. So I do ask you to remember particularly the academy and remember the great work that the Lord has given us to do in that academy. I do ask you to pray tonight for our bookshop ministry. We've had great opportunities through the work of the bookshops. Now, last year we were able to open a third bookshop, and we're thankful that in Kapanguria, Kitale, and now in the new work under the mission in Kakamega, there are bookshops. And those bookshops are indebted to the books that are sent out from Northern Ireland. And I do thank you all through the Missionary Council for how you continue to give books and Bibles to the appeals that go out from time to time. It's not only Kenyan that gets books and Bibles, the second-hand Bibles. people really love in Kenya, they love to see those Bibles coming because they are more affordable for them. And we are thankful for that, and we're thankful that you continue to support the work of the bookshops. And we've had testimonies to how the Lord has blessed that word in the hearts and lives, particularly of the edifying of the people of God in Kenya, perhaps not only in BCFC, in fact, probably more so outside of BCFC. And people know that we don't stock charismatic literature. They know that we don't stock the modern versions of Scripture. And those who have some understanding of it all would even travel quite far to the bookshops because they know the material that they're going to get there. And I would ask you to continue to remember the bookshop ministry as well. I would ask you to remember the Sunday school ministry. I'll not go into it in detail tonight, but you'll see it on the DVD. And I'm thankful to God for what the opportunity he's given me in so many of the lives of children in Kenya. In fact, tonight, as I have been in that ministry for these years, now we have Sunday school teachers, parents, mothers and fathers that I taught in Sunday school, and they're now teaching in Sunday school. And that's a great encouragement and a great legacy there. And I would ask you to continue to pray for the Sunday school ministry. I would just tonight mention the situation with regard to personnel, missionaries there on the field. It's a very important area, and we think particularly about what I would class the most important part of the team of labourers in Kenya. And the most important part of the team of labourers in Kenya are the Kenyans themselves. I've worked with the BCFC all these years, with pastors there, with Sunday school teachers. I personally don't now teach Sunday school, but I do organise and train the teachers and organise a curriculum. But you know, those who are going out on Sunday are the Kenyan Sunday school teachers. And I would ask you to pray and remember out there, not only pray for us as missionaries as you have done, but I would ask you to remember very particularly the Kenyan people who are labouring for the Lord. They are the Lord's servants, and we have young pastors there, not as many as we would like, but they're there. And we have women who take women's meetings, and we have those who labour in those bookshops. In fact, the BCFC bookshops are now run entirely by the BCFC young people and older people. And so I do ask you to pray much for the Kenyans. I would ask for a particular prayer tonight for the Reverend Nathaniel Kendigore. He has not been well over, I would say, now the past 3 months. And while his situation, his problem, was not a serious problem at the beginning, it has developed, and he's had like an ulcer in his leg that refused to heal, and bad circulation, and they've made many attempts at surgery. But tonight, those attempts have not been successful. And the family are trying to transfer him from Eldoret, which is a smaller town from Kapenguria. They're trying to take him on to Nairobi. And there is every possibility that he may lose his leg. So that is very traumatic situation, stressful situation for him and the family. We hope it doesn't happen, but I just would ask you to pray very particularly for him tonight. He is the Lord's servant, and he is the main leader in the work, and just remember him very particularly in your prayers. Personally, I thank the Lord for answered prayer over this furlough time that I've been at home. When I came home, I didn't have an entry permit to go back to Kenya, and it had expired, and we were applying under the new mission registration that we've received in Kenya. And so I was somewhat concerned, and we did pray and ask for prayer, and I'm thankful that that did come through on the end of October, and actually the actual permit, I received it last week. So I thank God that he has kept the door open for me for another 3 years there in the work, and so I do ask you to pray for me. I'm not getting any younger, as you would know, and I do need the strengthening hand of the Lord upon me as I seek to return to the field. I'm going back on the 16th of December, which is coming in very quickly. Do remember Gillian, as the Lord has directed her back to Northern Ireland as she continues the work there in Enniskillen. We are thankful for the short-term missionaries that have come over to help us. We had a group of young people. Grace was over there in July, and we are really encouraged by their interest in the work of the Lord. And we've had other groups from time to time. We had Noel Shields from Anna Long for a period of 2 months. And then we've had Lydia Kyle, who's still out there. She's from the Mourne congregation. She's still out there. She's been there from September. But she's coming home also on that day that I travelled to Kenya on the 16th of December. The Lord has used her there out on the field, and we are thankful for Lydia and her help. I would ask you tonight to remember the Patterson family. It was a disappointment to us this year when we were expecting the Pattersons to return in June. It was in April that we learned of Alison's illness and that they wouldn't be able to return to the field. Now, Alison is on her 7th course of chemotherapy, and she does need your prayers tonight. As you know, it's not a very nice thing to have to undergo, but she's almost near the end and values your prayers. The Reverend Patterson is planning to come back to Kenya in January. On the 18th, he'll be coming alone for a period of 2 to 3 months. And then after that, they will assess the situation with regard to Alison. So do remember the Reverend Patterson. Kathy Walker is in Kakamega on her own tonight, or well, she's with Lydia. But the Lord has given her a new ministry down there in Kakamega. She was up living beside me in Kapunguria, but she moves this year and she has opened that new ministry in Kakamega in the bookshop, particularly in the bookshop. And she is attending and assisting and helping out in that work that Gillian was doing in Yoporo. So do remember Kathy Walker. There's something that Kathy would value your prayers for tonight, and I do ask you to remember her. She has elderly parents back in Florida. They're in their mid to late 80s, I think, and they have just those problems that go with getting older. And at times they feel that Kathy should be closer to them. And that is, of course, a natural feeling of all parents. And that is heavy upon Kathy's heart at times. And so do remember that situation also in your prayers. Noreen McAfee arrived home in Ulster yesterday. She's home for 1 month. And she's there to visit her mother as well in the family circle and to have a time of rest. And of course, Noreen has been seeking the Lord much this year, and God has confirmed his will for her to move over to the work in Uganda and to assist in that Christian school there, that new and small Christian school. So I would ask you to pray much for Noreen. She is coming back again at the end of December to Kenya to help us to launch the new school year and the new enrollment for another year. The church in Kenya, the BCFC, did ask that she would go back and help for at least the first term. And so that is what she's doing. And then she will be moving over to Uganda. So there is a great gap there in the school. It is going to be a big wrench for her and for us and for the BCFC. But the Lord is in control of all things. And you know, a verse that the Lord gave me earlier on this year was that all things do work together for good to them that love the Lord. It doesn't say the good things or the things that you would like, but it's the all things do work together for good. And God has his hand upon this situation, and I would ask you to pray particularly for us tonight. You know, this verse of scripture, or these verses that we read, we're told about the laborers being few. They're few in Kenya. And the Lord tells us tonight to pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so I would ask you tonight to pray much that the Lord will send forth laborers to Kenya, and that the Lord will fill the gap that there is in the work of God in the land of Kenya. I trust that you will continue to pray. And you know, you will notice that when he instructed his disciples to pray that God would send forth laborers, then he chose them and sent them forth. And when we pray, we also need to be ready to go and give ourselves to the work of the Lord, whatever God would ask us to do. And so I asked you as a congregation to truly pray for us, especially in this incoming year and in this term as I go back to the field. Thank you very much.